The next scripture reading is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 4 to 27. And I invite you again to hear the word of God. Paul writes, "Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we have had a lot going on this morning. Commissioning the mission trip that leaves for Puerto Rico on Saturday, celebrating high school college graduates, recognizing our Sunday school teachers. I forgot at the beginning of worship to say Happy Father's Day to fathers among us. Because we have so much going on, I forgot that. So Happy Father's Day to all of the dads, to the father figures out there as well. There was some talk several weeks ago about, should we split up some of these things today and do them on a different day so there's not so much going on? But I really wanted to keep this all on the same day. These are all reflections of our life together as the church, our commitment to one another, to sharing life together and supporting one another. Today is Trinity Sunday, the day on the church calendar when we reflect on God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and what that means for us. And all of these things that we are doing today, that is the Trinity. The Trinity is not just a theological idea. It is a way of life. It's not just something to be studied or understood. It is something to be embodied and lived. The Trinity is the relationship between three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet, at the same time, those three distinct persons are one, living life together in mutual love. The very nature of God is one of community. Three living together as one. And this is what the Trinity shows us about ourselves. That being created in the very image of the triune God, our nature is found in community. We were created for community, to live life together as one in mutual love. We see this at the very beginning of creation when God looks at Adam and says, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a partner." We were not created to go through life by ourselves. We were created to share life with other people in community. We see this embodied by the early church in our reading from Acts. It says that when the church first started out, all who believed were together and had all things in common. Now, of course, this isn't like we say, "Oh, we've got a lot in common. You know, we like the same TV shows or the same sports teams." But what this means is that they shared everything they had. Whatever they had was for the common good. It says that they would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, they spent much time together in the temple. They broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God together. They shared their food, they shared their money, they shared their time. They lived life together. This was not just a Sunday thing for them. They depended on each other. They opened their lives up to each other. They were inherently connected to each other. Their lives were bound together. What affected one of them affected all of them. They were many living together as one. That is a reflection of the very nature of God. Three living together as one in mutual love, distinct and yet inseparable from one another. Their lives, it's like they're intertwined with each other. And that is what Paul is picking up on in his letter to the Christians in Corinth. He says, we each have different gifts, different ways in which we're called to live out our faith and serve God. Some people preach, some people teach, some people cook so that other people have food to eat. Some people work really well with kids, we saw that earlier, while others are like, "That is not my gift." Some people work well with their hands, or they can play or sing music, or they can build things, or paint or design things, while other people see that and they're like, "I don't know how they do that." We each have these different gifts, but, Paul says, they are given to us by the same Spirit for the common good. Whatever my gift is, it is not just for me. It's for all of us. My life is not just for me. It is meant to be shared and lived in harmony with your life. This is what the church is meant to be. A community of people whose lives are bound together. Inherently connected, living life together. Not just on Sunday, but every day. Sharing our gifts, sharing our lives with each other. Laughing together, crying together, praying and singing together. Many distinct people living together as one. The Greek word for church is used all throughout the New Testament is ekklesia, which means those who have been called out. We have been called out of our individual lives into a new life together in Christ. We are not called just to go to church. We are called to be the church, to open ourselves up and let each other in and share life together, share our hopes and our joys, our fears and our failures. When one of us does well, Paul says, we all do well. When one of us hurts, we all hurt. We are called to be as connected to each other as the Father is to the Son, and the Spirit is to the Father, and the Son is to the Spirit. And that can be a really hard thing to do. Because when you open yourself up to someone else and live life together like that, things can get messy. It is a risk. Anytime we let other people into our lives, let them see our wounds and our imperfections and our mistakes, we risk being hurt or rejected. There's a poet named Mark Jarman who wrote a poem that plays off of that rhyme where children put their hands together and say, "This is the church, this is the steeple, open it up and there's all the people." Jarman writes, "Among them you can hear their half-choked cries to be released to be pried from this mess they're soldered into somehow, they don't know, but stuck now, they are willing to confess. If that will ease your grip and let them go, confess the terror they cannot withstand is being locked inside another hand. It can be terrifying to be bound to other people, for our hands to be locked in the hand of another. It can feel very vulnerable and out of our control. And maybe that's the point, that it is out of our control. That in our life together, we are being called to trust not just each other, but we're being called to trust God together. This past week, we had a session meeting, a meeting of the elders of the church, to decide on a path forward with Ridgely, our associate pastor. For those who are visiting today, it's our associate pastor who's been on medical leave for the past 3 months. And I forgot to mention this at the beginning. We sent an email out filling you in on the details. If for whatever reason you didn't receive that email, we have copies of it printed out on the table in the back. I'd encourage you to take one of those, read over it, so you can see what's going to be going on in the next couple of months. But after 3 months of medical leave, we had several options that we had to look at, from her coming back full-time, working mostly off-site, knowing that there were some things she wasn't going to be able to do for a while, like be here on Sunday mornings, to her coming back part-time and what that would look like, and even to saying, you know what, there are just too many obstacles here, too many challenges, this is too hard, it's time to just end our ministry together and move on. There were a lot of questions about how this was all going to work, whether it could even work, the logistics of the time and the money and everything involved with this. We talked for 3 hours at the session meeting on Monday night about all of these options. There were 13 people around the table, all of whom had very strong feelings about this and different ideas about how we should move forward. At one point, I took a straw poll just to kind of see where everybody was and see if we could start to narrow down the discussion a little bit. And when we did that, they were evenly split among the three options. Like, I had no idea where this was going to end up. But there was a point in the meeting where one of the elders said, when you're in relationship with someone, there are going to be hard times. There are going to be challenges and bumps in the road. But when those come, you don't just give up on that person and end the relationship. You love each other, and you support each other, and you work through it, and you do what you can to fix it, even though it's not easy. They said, when Ridgely first came here 2 years ago, we all had such a strong sense of God's call in this process, that this was God's will for our church. And so even though it's not going to be easy, and it probably doesn't make full sense, I think they said, we have to trust God that this is God's will for our church, and that God is going to make it work. And we need to do everything we can to make it work too. As the meeting went on, some other elders started saying, you know, I had been thinking this way, but I hear what you're saying, and I think you're right. I think that we should take a step here and trust God. And that's what they did. They voted to bring her back full-time, working remotely for the first 6 months, and then slowly starting to work in the building again over the course of the next 6 months, and saying, we know this isn't going to be easy, but this is how we feel God is calling us to live life together. That is a reflection of the Trinity. And I cannot even tell you, as your pastor, how proud I am of our elders, and how proud you should be too. There was no right decision here. Like, this wasn't a multiple choice test where you look at all these options and then just have to figure out which one's correct. Any one of them could have been right, and any one of them could have been wrong. But what matters in a situation like that isn't that they found the right decision, but that they decided rightly. And they decided righteously. They sang together. They prayed together. They listened to one another, deeply listened to one another, and trusted each other and loved each other through the whole course of this conversation. They truly sought to discern God's will together. And that is what makes for a good decision. When I talked to one of the elders the next day, they said to me, "It felt so good to sit around that table and share our deepest thoughts and feelings and hopes and fears and be vulnerable with each other and know that I was not being judged or dismissed, but that I was being heard and valued and accepted, and that we could trust each other enough to do that." That is a reflection of the Trinity. And that is what we are all called to do together as Christ's church. To live life together in love, even in the midst of our differences. It is not easy. It is hard. And it can be messy, and there is risk involved with trusting each other and being vulnerable with each other like that. But that is what it looks like to be the church and to live the Trinity. Distinct persons living together as one. Our individual lives so bound together that they cannot be separated. It is not always neat or easy, and it doesn't always make sense. But it is who God is. And we were created in the very image of this triune God. So it is who we are too. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Spirit, you have called us out of our individual lives into a new life together. Keep calling us each day. Keep reminding us of your intention for our lives, so that our lives might reflect your very nature to the world around us. May we find in you the courage and the trust that we need to open our lives up to each other and to you, and to live together as one, as you are one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is in your holy name that we give ourselves and our life together to you. Amen.